This is QuakeCast 53. Welcome back to the QuakeCast. In this episode, we're welcoming Fairweather, who is the project lead on Dwell. Dwell is a four-episode Quake project. Episode one, The Shifting Domain, has just been released, and we're going to talk about the production, the creation, everything having to do with Dwell, and the state of the Quake community, and how maybe we could learn from the Doom community. All this and a lot more coming right up. So, Fairweather, welcome back to the QuakeCast. We're talking, this is All Dwell All the Time, your new episode that you've, episode one of a four-part series. So tell us, how did this thing get started?
You know, it started off with, you know, kind of humble beginnings. I had a few people coming to me from the Doom community because I started playing a few joining a few speed map jams and stuff like that over there. And I was kind of prodding about what people like and don't like about the Quake community and what they like from the outside, right? Because Doom's always been more popular than Quake for whatever reason. And the main thing that kind of stood out to me, and it's always stood out to me, but I haven't really you know, had the words to put it together, is that people were kind of missing that like singular experience of an episode, right? Like Doom has all of these like massive, you know, 30 plus hour experiences, and Quake only has a few, and the ones that we do have are quite, you know, from like the 2000s ish, like people haven't really tried it for a while. So I thought if I want to get, you know, basically like my A team together and, market it like hell and see, you know, see if we can, get that kind of reception for a Quake release, yeah, that was where it all started. I didn't expect it to go this hard and be this big and great. We have a few really good people on the team to thank for that one.
Yeah, I will interject there that a couple people listening might recall that on the Quake Mapping Discord and Funk message board that last year, or it could be 2 years ago now, I don't know, was supposed to be the year of the episode. I think it was 2019 was supposed to be the year of the episode. And it was kind of a running joke that, you know, well, this is the year of this and this is the year of that. But year of the episode never materialized. And then now all of a sudden, not going off topic, but there's quite a bit of activity in this space. And this is one of the first big ones out of the gate, you know, and here we are late into the year, but this is a huge release, you know? So,
considering how, you know, how full the year has been in general, that these like last few months are going to be absolutely stacked for a Quake episode loving audience and a jam loving audience, I think.
Absolutely. And yeah, the talent pool just keeps growing and the material just keeps getting more jaw dropping. So for those who do not know, we kind of jumped into the conversation. Give us the, I always say elevator pitch, but just tell us about Dwell. What are we to expect when we fire up Dwell?
Well, Dwell is a four episode mod project, which we're trying to kind of push it in the direction of four unique episodes that people haven't really seen the themes of before. You know, we're not going to do like id one, we're not going to do, you know, some typical stuff. So we're hitting like trying to hit a sort of Arcane Dimensions visual quality with some new enemies, new monsters, new bosses, and a whole lot of story, which I which we're going to be going back and kind of piecing together in the next in the second episode. So yeah, it's basically high quality Quake 1 episode, Quake 1 mod, four episode project.
Great. Yeah. Super ambitious, because when the marketing first came out, I thought, oh my God, four episodes. Are they already finished? But this is episode one, and I'm presuming that episode two is in the works as we speak. But so the first episode, now, you know, obviously, Quake is Lovecraftian, Lovecraft lore and the mythos and the expanded universe, if you will, has quite a bit of Egyptian influence. Is that kind of basically, or well, let me back up. Why Egyptian? It's an Egyptian themed episode. It's very cool, you know, and I will say I'm not and people that listen to the Quakecast, they know that I'm not always a big fan of that, but, I've certainly made an Egyptian level myself, but, why Egyptian?
I'd always seen Egyptian as one of those, Quake themes that hadn't been explored enough. You'll see with a bunch of other themes, like Sock has taken the city brick and you know, all that kind of stuff to insane heights, you know, and nobody had really done it for Egyptian yet. The only thing that I can really think of is some of the Retro Jam 6 stuff that kind of spurred me on. We had a mood board early on, and we were pulling from a lot of stuff that wasn't Egyptian themed, so we could kind of get that saturation of where the theme could go. And I think that's really obvious in the episode when you play it, because we were conscious to start off really bright and, you know, over the top visually, goes down, gets a little bit more humble, and springs back up with this sort of this gory Sock Tex aesthetic. Those Sock textures really bring the whole episode together, by the way. That guy did a wonderful job.
Yeah. And that's something that's hard to nail, in my opinion, because it's a very specific set that gets you to a certain place. This is just my opinion as a, you know, intermediate mapper, but I mean, you've got to really do some work with those textures to make individual levels stand out. In other words, I don't want to say they're samey, but they can be samey very, very quickly and very easily. So what you guys did in those later levels, you know, with the coagula type of, you know, floaty stuff and just design wise, it's just great, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean. Nave sort of has the same problem where I personally love the Nave textures. I think everybody knows that. But that texture set really lends itself to a certain aesthetic and a certain style. And when I saw that Marky Music, by the way, people who don't know, he made a map for the Copper Tone Summer Jam, which took Nave in a completely new direction. And it blew me away so hard that I basically asked him, hey, can you kind of take this texture set and see what you can do with it, you know, like what kind of aesthetics can you build? And he sort of built a little bit of a thing and everybody took a look at, they all took it in their own unique direction. I specifically really like, how they all had a singular, sort of thing they were going for. Right. Like Pinchy had the big, like floating stuff, like felt like Half-Life, right? Like the end of Half-Life One.
Right.
Marky went with the blood and gore and there's things exploding out of the walls and it's really visceral. Like that new mechanic is, you know, scared a lot of people, which is, you know, kind of rare for Quake. And I mean, Mazu's Mazu, right? Like his maps are diamonds in the rough all the time. So I was not scared of the three people that were picked for the end to kind of hit it out of the park in that respect.
Let's talk about collaborating with a large, because it's quite a large group of mappers, and you guys obviously were really great at keeping this a secret from everybody in the Quake Mapping Discord, because it was like, wait, what do you work? What is this? No, but it's really cool. I mean, you have some really fantastic names. So let's go through them. We have yourself, Fairweather. We have Alex Withak, the
composer. Alex with a K.
With a K, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Alec with a K, sorry. Alex with a K. Creator, right? Or Creator. Mm-hmm. Dan's, you have Marky. You have JCR, who did the secret level, which is really, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. Greenwood. And then we have Void Force, which we will definitely be talking about. Henry Ambrose, who's a big presence on the Quake Mapping Discord. Everybody is. Poolboy Q, who did the first map. Pinchy, who did some crazy, really innovative crazy visuals for this thing. And then Mazu, who is always Gonzo, is like the Gonzo of mapping. 100%, but great. I mean, wow. You know, to make a name for yourself in this, you know, this short of time with the work, body of work he's done, and you know, just that level is pretty crazy. So, you've been mapping for a long time for multiple different games, and Quake, you've got quite a huge body of work already behind you after just a couple years. So what was it like to collaborate with a group? I mean, how did it just completely balloon, or did you, you said you had your dream team that you wanted to select. How did it go and then move into collaborating with these people, and what maybe some of the surprises were?
I'll have to say, I didn't respect, maybe not respect is the correct word. I think I underestimated the amount of work that project leads themselves do. And when we were about, you know, 3/4 of a way in, I understood that very, very well. You know, the turnaround time for this episode was ludicrously short. We spent a fair 2-ish weeks just playtesting and polishing and trying to get it all, you know, up to snuff. But the main body of content, that was all a month.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. That's crazy.
Yeah, even just trying to kind of manage people in the right direction. You know, difficulty was a big sticking point for a lot of people. Like, I was trying to move the needle a few ways, and it's a bit of a push and pull. So trying to, because it's a community project, right? I want people's voices to come through in the, like in how everything is, right? A Greenwood map, it feels like a Greenwood map, right? Pinchy map felt like a pinchy map. I didn't want to mute people's personal voices just so it would be more coherent, or what's the correct word for this? Would be more
you want it to be homogenized. You want it to have feel it exactly. Everything needs to fit together but have distinctive chapters too.
Yeah, and that's like the toughest thing, I'll say. One person who we didn't need to really budge around and mess with much was Alex with a K. This guy is absolutely fucking fantastic. I will sing the highest praises for this guy. We kind of caught his music, his Quake-inspired like Sepulchre stuff on Twitter, because he posted that before to his SoundCloud. You know, he was really into Quake. You know, he was kind of big fans of Mark EI and, you know, a lot of other Twitter personalities around the Quake scene. And we're just like, hey, man, if you want to come along and, you know, track some stuff for us, you know, we could really use a composer right now. It'd be really nice to have a custom soundtrack, you know, not have to pick bits and pieces from freeware, Egyptian sounding stuff, you know? And my God, he hit a home run with almost every single track.
Yeah, I agree. Just from the bit that I've played and some of the stuff that I've explored, because I haven't really had the time to go all the way through and kill myself. No, it's really distinctive. It's really new and fresh for the Quake scene, but it fits and it works, especially with the theme, especially. Knocked it out of the park. Very cool there. Yeah. So Alex with a K, welcome to the Quake community. Don't go anywhere.
Stay here, please.
Yes, please stay. Yeah, no, it's really cool. We this last year or two, we've had some great additions with Marky and Amorpher and some other folks from Amorpher's gang of fools, you know, over there on his Discord. But and I mean fools in the best possible way, but you know, it's great. Hey, more music, and it really does give it a distinctive feel when you're playing it. You're not hearing the same thing, because I actually play tested a level this morning for someone, and before I jumped on to Dwell, and they put the intermission music as their track. And I'm like, you know, you may want to, not saying it's wrong, but it's a choice, and it might be a choice that people don't agree with. So then it was really delightful to move on to Dwell and hear all that awesome original music. So.
Yeah. I especially love it because, you know, it kind of sounds like, you know, it sounds new, but it also sounds Quake. Towards the start, it's a little bit more eccentric. You know, you've got like the thumping drums in Greenwood's track, and then you've got the kind of wistful feeling stuff in Voidforce's stuff in Voidforce's map. But as it goes on, it trudges deeper and deeper into this sort of like scratchy, like beatly sounding like track thing until Mazu's is just noise, like that kind of black void, and like it's so oppressive, and the music fits it so well. Alex has such a good has such a good like feel for how tracks should should pair with atmosphere of maps. You know, he'd ask for screenshots, kind of what the map is like, you know, how it plays, and I feel like all of that passion and thoughtfulness went into every track.
That's great to hear. So it sounds like you had a pretty cohesive team, a good good communication, good lead, you know, project lead. And so I guess, yeah, it came together very quickly. So now tell me about, now there's so many things we could talk about. I've got, yeah. I've got tons of notes, but let me just stay on the team aspect of it. So you had mentioned to me earlier yesterday about how you were playtesting and using Discord and screen sharing and all that. Can you get a little bit into your process there? Because it sounded really fascinating.
In comparison with something like a game dev studio or something where everybody can see, you know, the other people working, and it kind of feels like a community going at it, you know, everybody at the same time. I kind of get the feeling sometimes that community stuff in Doom and Quake and all that kind of thing, you're kind of going on a promise. So you can't really see other people working. You don't know what their thought process is. You can't really talk to them actively without going through a forum or a Discord, you know, DMing them, you know, and just being able to see what other people are doing, and sort of, you know, maybe Alex would pull up his music and he'd start playing something, and then I'd start streaming a map or me doing some promo stuff or writing something, and Marky would do the same, and we'd all just shoot the shit while we're like making stuff. But it's not time wasting, you know, like we're all kind of motivating each other. It's a circle of, of motivation. Right. See, I truly think it was one of the most integral parts of making this thing a success in like the amount of time it was, right? Because we didn't have much time, and people were pulling like really long days near the end, not out of necessity, but kind of out of love, right? Sure. Especially Marky and Mazu, they could have ended, you know, they could have stopped their maps at any point and said, look, I think this is good, you know, we're done here or something, you know, and walked away or you know, just relegated themselves to fixing bugs or something. But every single one of them always were like, okay, we're going to play it on stream. We're all going to commentate, you know, give feedback. And here's how this could go better. It could polish this a little bit better. And there was changes up until the nth hour. Like it was, the motivation and in screen sharing and streaming to each other is a big, big part of why this was a success, in my opinion.
Now, so when that is going down, do you have the, because I'm telling you, I barely even show a screenshot, and I haven't mapped for a long time, seriously mapped, but, do you like, I can't even screen share a screenshot cause I'm so kind of, worried about, yeah. and I'm also like, well, hey man, it is what it is. I'm going to do it my way. But obviously I would have an open mind. So did you ever have like on those streams, like, no, you're getting it all wrong. This is what I intended. You broke it or what have you. I mean, in other words, how did that process of seeing, you know, it so quickly and so immediately without having to wait for demos or a write up or mm-hmm. A text, how did that go with people? And was it different between the different mappers?
I feel like it went over pretty well across everybody, right? We've only got a few people who are on voice chat. So it's Marky, me, Mazu sometimes, and everybody else kind of types. So, and the vibe is generally pretty casual. So people aren't playing a map and going, this is terrible. This sucks. This is, you know, really shitty. They're like, this feels a little bit, you know, hard to navigate. Is there a way that you can kind of, you know, guide the player a bit more or the, you know, ammo here or something like that, right? I also feel like when you're in a closed environment and it's a friend to a friend or a team member to a team member sort of thing, it's less daunting than somebody kind of, you know, random, kind of streaming at you and just going, this is shit, misaligned texture here, all this kind of stuff, you know? It feels a little more effectual and helping than the general type of internet feedback.
Sure. And it's like, I always call it fresh eyes. It's great to have fresh eyes on something.
100%.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, just even the smallest little detail that you might've overlooked is seen. Well, that's cool. That's good. That's just my nerdy, you know, kind of like process kind of brain going, well, how did you guys do this? I've never, you know, I've kind of admined a few events, but I haven't really, you know, been in charge of a mod team before, you know, that kind of thing. Well, a mod team of one or two, but, let's talk about Copper and the impact that Copper has on this, endeavor, because, you know, I will say I haven't even finished UW yet, you know, and, I certainly have played plenty of Copper. I'm comfortable enough to tell, you know, to say, hey, yeah, I know what Copper is, but from a modding perspective, I haven't touched it. So I know, and I'm very familiar with what it has and some of the features, but, why Copper? Why is Copper so awesome? Did it surprise you during the development? Any of the features like, oh, wow, this could really change the game?
I feel like Copper was there because a lot of us, we played UW and, you know, there's so much like work gone into Copper, like, you know, thoughtfulness about like mechanics and stuff that we kind of wanted to, you know, use that as a base and kind of push it as like a standard in a way. Right. It's also cause it's a wonderful base to build a mod on because Lunar and, you know, it's really clean compared to, you know, I'm not going to say AD is bad, but there is a lot of bloat in AD, right. You can have about 40 monsters or something that you never touch, you know, whereas in Copper, every entity is used to its fullest extent.
Right. It's very lean. It's very lean and the code is crazy.
Yeah. Plus the changes are just, you know, if we were to pick AD, I would just recreate a bunch of Copper changes in it. You know, that's not a dogged, you know, AD or, you know, even Progs Dump. Because you know you're working on currently.
That's a totally different beast we can talk about some other time. But no, and I'm going to say it right now because it's coming up. If I had known that Copper was coming, and I've said this before, and I typed it on Funk. It's there for everyone to see. If I had known, or maybe it's on Funk. I don't know. If I had known Copper was coming, I never would have started Progs Dump. So, but Progs Dump is become something completely different. So, Copper is amazing. And for those of, you know, maybe who are listening, who don't know what Copper is, it's a single player kind of, I don't want to say upgrade. It's a mod for
it's a refinement Quake. Mod.
It's a refinement mod. That's a perfect way to put it. And that's the way Lunarin said it. But I will say Matthew has been working on that for years and is just kind of slow and steady, kind of was working on it for his own mod, you know, for his own releases, and then decided to kind of go ahead and make it a development kit and a mod on its own. So it's super clean. It's super slick. It has autosave. It has just some quality of life things for players, let alone all the great stuff for Mapper. So if anyone listening has not tried Copper, please go try it. Now you don't need it for Dwell because Dwell is based on the dev kit kind of version of Copper. So I just want to make sure and say that. So, but again, was there anything in Copper during this project you were like, I really wanted to use this or this really changed the game. This would not have been possible with other things.
Well, yeah, just how Copper is so refined and there's a lot of tasteful accents onto, you know, the vanilla content that it feels, it's a lot of the stuff could have been done with other mods or it could have been done in vanilla, you know, if we added a few things, but the specific things that we used to the fullest extent. So like the meat shower was used so much in this episode and that was kind of the theming around it. Right. I wanted to keep the first episode, not unambitious or whatever, but I wanted to keep it, you know, sort of the general Copper, you know, playset So we didn't have to, you know, constantly nag Creator or wait or sort of add new things. Because originally, Marky wanted the full house, right? He wanted to add a bunch of things, and I kept pushing back. And I think now that he's, you know, sort of used Copper and all of its stuff to, you know, the logical extreme, I think I'm more open to adding more stuff now. Because we use Funkfall a bunch. We kind of standardize Funkfall across the episodes so people wouldn't die when they fall into pits. It's used for a lot of secrets. It's, you know, Explobox, Funk Explobox is used a bunch, especially in the more gory levels. It's used in lieu of a Funk Breakable a bunch. We kind of made Luna, because Luna Ren's in there just for general, he's in the Discord just for general
like, you know, tech support.
Tech support, kind of, yeah, because he knows it the best.
Yeah.
And like, we kept pushing these things to such an extreme, and he'd go like, why are you guys using it like this? Please. Like,
yeah, you're please, breaking please it. Don't do that. Yeah. Please don't do that. did you read the documents? Stop it.
Yeah. So I think like, you know, to finish this kind of rant off, it could have been done with something else, but Copper was so compact and neat. And I felt like the features meshed so perfectly together with the theme that to go with anything else would have been overkill and not a very good base to start building off. You know, I don't want this thing to be 2 gigabytes once we're done.
No, exactly. And the one thing I will say is that, you know, there, and I know you know this from offline conversations that we've had, where there, you know, there's more than the one big mod that everybody loves and gravitates to. There's definitely a lot to be said about Quoth. There's a lot to be said about, you know, even Rubicon and things like that are quite a bit older.
Yeah.
I would like to see projects, maybe not episodes or something, but just people making maps for other things. I mean, God, Yoder did, now I'm in a complete phase warp. I think it was phase warp.
Yeah. I'm really interested in that mechanic.
Cool.
What he's doing with it, man. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So little things like that that are new deserve a lot more attention than just the one biggie that always crops up.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the future as much as you're comfortable talking about for subsequent episodes. So Creator is making and coding for you and models and everything.
Also, Dan's.
And Dan, yes, I was just going to say, Dan's made at least the keys that I know of, right? The really cool Scarab keys. So I thought that was for LibreQuake. So was
oh,
it?
Oh, really?
It's not, is it not for LibreQuake? No. Okay, it was part of your marketing blitz. I was like, oh, whoa, that's a really interesting key for LibreQuake. Wow, that's really wild. Sorry, Dan's, I got it wrong. It's not the first time I haven't been paying attention. So talk a little bit about the future. So now that you've got this thing out the door, you've crunched, it was a quick turnaround. Now talk about what we might expect in a second episode.
I think a more expansive mod-like experience. So I'd like to think of the first episode as a bit of dipping your toes into the water, where we kept things vanilla in terms of the enemy roster, except for the boss, obviously. And the new mechanics that were there were sort of in-map and, you know, like in-map mechanics that sort of didn't affect the progs in any way. There was a few technical things we fixed, or we changed about it. So there's custom end text, there's a few different monster behaviors, all this technical stuff, but none of it really compromised the vanilla gameplay. And maybe that was disappointing for some people. I don't know. I haven't heard any sort of feedback in that direction, but I don't know if people don't know that they want it yet, right? So second episode, you can expect some like really great art already. Some more models, more enemies, unique enemies that haven't been in any mod before, you know, completely made from scratch. You know, shout out to Dan's, he's great. And just a more polished experience overall, because we'll spend a lot more time on it. Hopefully we'll also go back and kind of make changes and fixes to the previous maps and over the next few weeks. I know I've already got patch 2 in the works. So the future is bright for Dwell. It's going quite good.
Yeah. And I got to say, just going down the roster, as we kind of mentioned earlier, you know, I don't want to give too much attention to one mapper, but I kind of have to, because it came up today on the Quake Mapping Discord and I couldn't agree more. Void Forces map. If anybody's listening that wants to study map and level design, you should take a look at that map, because it really, like, the first time in a long time, it really felt like a real place. I don't know how they nailed the scale, how Void Force nailed the scale, but it's a lovely level. The aesthetic's beautiful.
It's alive,
the gameplay's Yeah, it's pretty stunning. Not to say, you know, because I was just looking at the readme going, who did 6? Who did 6? It was Marky. And it was like, that one was like, oh, whoa. Holy crap. What am I looking at? Yeah. So, and then, of course, as you say, like, you know, Greenwood is a friend. And, you know, you say, oh, you know, it's a Greenwood level. But, yeah, I don't want to say his style's whimsical, but he has whimsy in a lot of his levels.
Yeah,
and a
100%. Lot of his.
So that kind of came out that way. The first map was great. It was a ride, and it has some really beautiful aspects to it. And I'm really looking forward to kind of completing everything. But I will say that JCR was channeling his inner Newhouse. And also
Bloodshot.
Hello. Okay. No, not Bloodhouse. Stop it. No, JCR. JCR was channeling that modder.
Yeah.
Just some really crazy kind of organic shapes and things like that in the secret level. So it's great all around. You guys really have accomplished something spectacular. So now, you know, the mod's just fresh. It just came out a couple of days ago. What are you excited about? I mean, the Twitter response was, your marketing was really coordinated, and I love that. That was so cool. It was just a new thing that just popped up, and everybody's kind of posting about it. And so where did that come from? Let's talk about that.
It came from a drive that I'd seen on Twitter for Doom levels and kind of packs. I was viewing a kind of Bridgeburner's Twitter account and how he kind of pushes, he's making a total conversion mod for Doom at the moment called Age of Hell. And it looks like absolutely jaw-dropping beautiful. And the reception is great. Everybody's passing around these awesome images, talking about it in every corner of the retro gaming community. And I kind of wanted that for Quake. I want to say about my map was about 2 weeks of work all in all. And the rest was all leading the project, you know, kind of giving feedback and, you know, pulling people around, and promo stuff was a major, major part. I found that when you go to Doom World or TF2 maps or something like that, every big project has a big page, and you can read about it for a while and kind of really get pulled into the project and then kind of get interested in kind of playing it. Whereas in Quake, I mean, not to really dog on Matt Slime or anybody like that, but Funk is a bit bland and kind of kind of bland. And like, it feels like an Excel spreadsheet a lot of the time. Like when I'm looking at, it's like, oh cool, this new map released, the brown, you know, olive page is like kind of screaming at me to leave. I was thinking about where I can go with this. And there was another thing that Bridgeburner was a part of called Elementalism. And that one has a lovely page on Doomworld. It's got some annotated like art pieces. It kind of gives you the rundown of who the team is and their objectives and stuff. And I found that really hyped me for a project that I previously had no idea existed, right? And Quake, like, other than Arcane Dimensions and 1.5, they just don't have that kind of intrigue. I'm sorry. Like, I can't go onto a page and get ultra hype for a pack or a map or a mod before I've actually either clicked on the screenshots and had a good look or loaded it into the engine. People are way too humble with that kind of thing, in my opinion.
Well, I was just going to ask you about that. I mean, what could the communities learn from each other? I mean, I'm not going to say that I know anything about the Doom community. I know what Doom World is, but yeah, obviously I kind of answered my question is that, we could use a better infrastructure for promoting our work and not just having these silos on Twitter and Discord, which, cause you know, Discord's not great for this stuff. It's great for finding collaborators. And, you know, I guess Reddit would be the next stop for kind of promoting your work, but it's such a sea of information and sea of posts out there. So yeah. I suppose what you're saying is we need the equivalent of Doom World where authors can do posts and, you know, do multimedia. Now, obviously we have Quaddicted and it's, you know, it's definitely old bones. And I think there's a project that's revamping it right now under the hood, at least.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see that in the next year, where you know, modders and mappers can show off their work, because nothing is slowing down. I'm only seeing a gigantic acceleration. New people. It was so funny. Were you there when all the students came in from the class the other day?
Yeah.
On the Quake Mapping Discord, we had all these huge amount of people joining all at once. We're like, what's going on? And you and I both thought it was from Dwell. And I think Marky thought, like, why are all these people, you know, like, is it Dwell? Yeah. Cause all the Twitter coordination. And it's like, no, there's some teacher is teaching level design. And he made us join this Discord for our assignment. Like, oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of fun, but yeah, the activity is off the charts, and you know, there's a lot of stuff coming down the pike. I know, you know, about a few top secret projects, and I know about at least one other one that's going on right now. So, a lot of really fun stuff coming down Quake. I think that's the end of my questions. We certainly can chat for a lot longer, but, Should we change gears? Should we talk about some of the other things? I'm going to try to dig this out of you. All right. Should we talk about some of the other things you're working on?
I gotta keep myself zipped, or I might get, you know, thwacked by somebody. All I can say is it's going to be a big year for Quake. We've already gone over that, but like, I've got to like double down on the, you know, on saying that, like, people are putting in the work. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I believe it. And I hear hints. I see things. I hear things. I read things. but not everything. I mean, the Dwell was a complete mystery until you sent me a screenshot. I'm like, what's this? Yeah. Yeah, really cool stuff. There's a lot to be happy and thankful for, even though these times are kind of crazy. We have our hobby and, you know, the game's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, what's interesting is I'm seeing a lot on the Quake Mapping Discord of, in the Quake C and Engines, channel. Not only is there a lot of Quake C happening, there's a ton of engine stuff, just weird kind of bizarro little things on the side. There's like a ray tracing Quake project. This is some guy learning, you know, but there are other Quake 2, Quake 1 kind of running quick QC in Quake 2 and a virtual machine, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, kind of kooky things. Like, we'll see the light of day. We have Quake VR projects from people in the in the community. There's just so much going on.
Yeah.
You know, and I do agree with you. Boy, it'd be really nice to have a modern, state-of-the-art platform that, you know, and in Funk's defense, it is really for mapping. I mean, that is a that's the Quake mapping of, you know, 15 years ago, right? So that's what, and it's still a valuable asset, and I fight for people to go, you know, I link to articles there all the time, and or posts, I should say. And I kind of encourage people, like, hey, it's not really official unless it's happening on Funk. So in fairness to Metal and Shambler and the gang over there, that, you know, it's really geared towards mapping, and there is the gameplay and commentary and all that stuff. But yeah, we need something. I would like to see Quake Expo come back. That's my dream, because as a player, before I got back into mapping, whenever there's a Quake Expo, it would show up in someone's news feed or what have you, and you'd be like, oh, Quake Expo, and you'd go and you see all these great projects. You know, people can Google Quake Expo and still find some of the pages live and find some really fun mods and projects, and they're kind of jamish, you know. Yeah, so like, all right, you know, I had a couple months and I, or a couple days, and I slapped this mod together, and it's, you know, this great, you know, gameplay mod. So I would love to see, not that I can do any of that, but I would love to see that come back in some form in the future, maybe in 2021. But I think, you know, AD 1.8 is going to make a huge splash when it comes out, because there's so many crazy new things, you know, under the hood and out in front. So that things will just get even crazier when that comes out.
Yeah, I feel like Quake and Quake modding and mapping and, you know, all of this stuff can only go up from here. Like, we're already at such a high point, and stuff just keeps happening. It feels like, you know, a few years ago, maybe you could have just casually played, you know, every single Quake release that came out in a year. That ain't possible anymore, baby. You're going to get overwhelmed if you try. You know, you've got to take a peek. You got to pick your favorites now. It's great, man. Having a community be so you know, on the up and up is just brilliant.
That's it for this episode. Thanks to Fairweather for joining us. Our music is by Marky Music, and our friends over at InTheKeep.com have a podcast you should check out, In The Keep with the Motherlode. Great content there. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.